Thank you. What a privilege to sing out to our Heavenly Father today. As we celebrate, I pray for you a happy Father's Day. And I invite you to turn this morning to 1 John. We're going to be looking at the first six verses of 1 John chapter 4. We've kind of labeled our study of this New Testament letter, these dear letter from John. We keep saying that God's true love eternally lives in God's true children, because that's what we're finding in the text. We're finding how the Father's servant and Christ's apostle John writes this letter and this text. In 1 John 4, with such a fatherly heart. I've just been thinking about that this week as I've been looking at this text. Just what a father's heart, as John testifies, as we said in 3 John, I have no greater joy than to see that my children are walking in truth. And as God's beloved children, we need to walk with discernment. We need to walk with discernment because many are walking in darkness, even while professing to be walking in the light of God's fellowship. Not everybody who's professing to be fellowshipping with God really is. And in this life, as Jesus said, there will be tares mixed in with the wheat of God's harvest. And one day soon, you can be assured that God will sort out every soul for eternity. But for now, God's children need to walk with discernment. 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, we read, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." This is the word of the Lord. And so we pray, Lord, that you would help us to have the discernment between the spirit of truth and the spirit of error, so that we would walk in your way. I pray that we would have the ears to hear your truth today. And I pray that the abundance of words in this sermon would just only serve to make much of Jesus and to draw us as your people close. And I pray for those who do not have this discernment, Lord, that you would draw them today in your mercy. And I pray this again for Jesus' sake. Amen. As I was growing up, probably no shock to you, I'm of that vintage where I watched a lot of Looney Tunes. I watched a lot of the Looney Tunes, you know, Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck and Elmer Fudd and Yosemite Sam and Foghorn Leghorn, you know, characters that provide a lot of funny, witty dialogue for the entertainment of my heart and many people, and still today, you know, I'll confess, stuff makes me laugh, you know. But the Roadrunner and Mr. Wile E. Coyote, needing no dialogue except the well-timed Roadrunner meep meep, they illustrate with painful clarity the need for living with discernment. Am I right? When you're the Roadrunner dealing with Wile E. Coyote, you know you just can't trust what looks like a tunnel isn't really a 3D painting hiding a mountainside cliff. And when you're Wile E. Coyote, you can't just trust that your 3D tunnel painting isn't going to somehow backfire on you in true cartoon fashion as a huge semi-truck just smashes you. I'm just saying we've got to know the need for discernment. And it's not just cartoon stuff. And it, with a fatherly heart, the Apostle John writes this letter exhorting Christchurch to be living displays of our spiritual family DNA and to obey God's command by relying on Jesus Christ as the ruler and the rescuer that we all need, resting in His love, putting His love into action as brothers and sisters in His forever family, so that we can live free from condemnation, as we saw last time, with this true know-so confidence in our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just ask you again, do you have know-so confidence in the greatness of God? Do you know God's Son Jesus with a know-so confidence? Because God knows all of it. He knows it all. And He is greater than all of it. He's truly greater than our hearts. And we can be sure as God's children that He answers our prayer because He abides with us so that we abide with Him. And even when life is throwing its very worst at us, we can have this know-so confidence in God's future grace. As John says in 1 John 3:24, we know it by the Spirit whom He has given us. And now as we move into this text in 1 John 4, the wise old apostle, moved by the Spirit, warns the church to walk with discernment because there's a real and present danger. God's true children walk with Spirit-led discernment to follow Jesus Christ and His true word instead of the world's false teachers. And as Jesus warns us, there are many wolves in sheep's clothing. They assault the church. But they're very smooth, right? False prophets don't show up shouting, "Hey, listen to me, I'm a false prophet." No, the teachers who are against Christ show up sounding very inspirational and very charming. And the devil's agents are experts at wrapping heretical deception in the skins of orthodoxy. They even quote the scriptures and twist the scriptures for the purpose of hoodwinking their audience. And if the church lets the Trojan horse pass the defenses of gospel truth, it's disaster. So, brothers and sisters, we must walk in Spirit-led discernment. And Spirit-led discernment is what is required, really, for us to be loving one another as God's children. John heard the Lord Jesus warning in Matthew 7, and we see it, the warning of wolves in sheep's clothing. And we need to hear John faithfully conveying that need for ongoing discernment. Church history proves the contrast and the conflict between the false professors and the true possessors of God's promise. And we need to note there's a repeated contrast in these six verses between those who are from God and those who are from the world. From God, versus the world. You've got to know the difference so that you can respond faithfully. It's a warning, church, because in John's day, as in our day, the Antichrist teachers want you to think that they're speaking your same language. They use a lot of the same words. They say, we have so much common ground. We just made a few tweaks, just a few improvements to your faith. But beware. It's bait and switch. Because if you change the gospel at all, it's no gospel. We live in this fascinating time, right? If it's on the internet, it's got to be true, right? Everybody's saying it, the celebrities and the scientists. It's got to be solid. Not at all. We've got to recognize that across our land, local church communities are trading in biblical orthodoxy for kind of modern repackaged versions of the old theological liberalism that ravaged the mainline denominations in the previous centuries. It's still happening. There's a version of religion that lacks the power of God's truth. And it's very popular. We shouldn't be surprised by the vast numbers of various kinds of spiritual recruiters in our world. But we also shouldn't be gullible. And we must not be indifferent. Like the early church, we need to walk with discernment. We say it all the time. You can trust the world to be the world, but the church must be the church. And this is our time. And that's what we see in this very first verse of 1 John 4. This is our time. This is the time for spiritual discernment. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. Beloved, John writes the word of the Lord to all of the beloved. It's a word of corporate command. It's individual, but it's also corporate. It's for the whole gathering of the church. Don't believe every spirit. Instead, this is what you do. Do this. Test the spirits to make sure they're sourced from God. Our habit of believing Jesus and loving as Jesus followers must be reasonable, but it can't be indiscriminate. Why? Because we're in a spiritual conflict. There's many scriptures that also call us to kind of this warfighter mentality, to be on guard. No doubt your minds, if you've been looking at world news, are filled with the images of warfighting. But Ephesians 6:10 says to the church, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says, do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. So you cannot allow the seed of the devil's lie to take root in your life. Don't believe anything that you hear as a spiritual reality until you thoroughly test everything against what God's Holy Spirit has revealed in God's Holy Word. Every message, even the messages from Faith Bible Church, every message must be filtered and every spirit tested. And aren't you glad that God doesn't leave His children hanging? He is our source and our resource. He's given us everything we need. And even as John writes this letter, before the completion of the whole New Testament revelation, he's saying Christ Church is already enabled to test the spirits behind the messages being proclaimed by all these pseudo-teachers because of the abiding ministry of the Holy Spirit. This word, test, It's only used this one time by John. And it's a pretty clear for us to understand. It just means a proper, close examination. Again, it's a word that was used by the ancients for examining people being considered for public office. Because there's a reason for us to be choosy about our leaders, am I right? The Greco-Roman world also used this word test when referring to measuring weights and currencies. Because you always want to make sure that you're getting your money's worth. But the most important kind of testing is spiritual testing. When you become a follower of Jesus, Jesus immediately grants the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the triune Godhead. And the Holy Spirit teaches the truth to our spirit to bolster our confidence in Christ and to equip our discernment, which we need, as John says, because there are other spirits in this world. And they may even, like Pharaoh's magicians in the Exodus story, they may display convincingly supernatural powers. Satan knows how to bait the hook. And Satan has his own mission. Demonic doctrines are being dispersed all over the world by the devil's many false prophets. And that's why testing is necessary. When we go back to the Old Testament, the Mosaic code, do you remember the criteria for judging whether a prophet was truly sourced from the one true God? It was a pretty simple test. Deuteronomy 13 and Deuteronomy 18. If prophecy was claimed to be from the Lord and it proved in any way to be false, that false prophet was to be stoned to death. To say this is the word of the Lord when it's not the word of the Lord, that is a high crime against the high king. The Apostle Paul also writes in 2 Corinthians 11, 14 and 15, even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it's no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds. The Apostle Peter warns in 2 Peter chapter 2, but false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, who bring upon themselves swift destruction, and many will follow their sensuality. Please don't believe anybody claiming to have a word from the Lord unless they are pointing you to chapter and verse in the Bible. The test of God's truth does not depend on your subjective feelings. God says, no, you have to check the source by checking the content. And again, when John says you, he means the whole gathered believing church community is responsible for testing the spirits so that we are only believing what's from the Spirit of God. We're about the same gospel message that we've had since the beginning. And there's no free pass on sloppy thinking or sleepwalking. John is not talking at all about, you know, cartoon kind of stuff. Wile E. Coyote going over the cliff in the cartoon. No, John is warning about going over the cliff of eternal consequences because there's only heaven and hell. It's one or the other. But we're Christ's church. We're the community of God's light in this dark world. We are the pillar and support of the truth, the faith once for all delivered. And all of us, beloved, share responsibility. Yes, overseers, pastors, teachers, more so, but you, each and every child of God needs to know what you believe and what you don't. Paul warns in Galatians chapter 1, verse 8, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. And there are many, many false prophets peddling fake news for their own profit. Are you buying into it? Are you like, oh yeah, I go to Faith Bible Church on Sunday, but I'm tuning in on the TV to all of these other voices that are saying something radically different than what I read in the Bible? Are you buying into that? Are you following the false teachers? Or are you able to test them and walk with discernment? Because only by testing can we really know who is of God and indwelt by the Holy Spirit and who is of the world and captured by the Antichrist spirit. And John is urging our spiritual testing in two directions. First, discern the confession that's coming out of a person about Jesus. That'll tell you everything. What do you believe about Jesus? Discern the confession that's coming out about Jesus, and then also test what is the teaching that's being taken in. So in verses 2 and 3, the test is discern the confession that's coming out about Jesus. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. How do you discern the work of God the Holy Spirit? It's this. It's people turning away from rebellion against Christ and joyfully confessing the truth about Christ. This is the work of the Spirit. It's when you hear people who are lost saying, oh, I believe Jesus is the promised Messiah. He is God in the flesh. He's 100% God and he's 100% man. He's exactly who he claims to be, and he is my Lord and my Savior. Hallelujah. Because whatever a person says about the biblical Jesus is the grid for testing if they're really walking in fellowship with God. John begins this letter with his own confession. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testify to it and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. John has his own confession. Do you have your confession? Because of all of these Antichrist attacks on the early church, early church leaders relying on the apostles' teaching formulated a helpful summary that we know as the Nicene Creed. It was formulated at the Council of Nicaea, affirming Jesus as very God of very God, begotten, not made, who for us, man, and our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. Only Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. Only Jesus came to lay down his life for us in our place, to satisfy the demands of God's holy wrath against our sin, and to provide the one way of forgiveness and the fellowship of the life with him that's never going to end. 1 John 2:2. So what's the litmus test of a person's spiritual identity? John says every spirit will be discerned by this Christological test. What do you say about Jesus? It's by this, verse 2, by this issue of confessing Christ that you all who are born of God know, you recognize, you perceive the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Because what is the Spirit's work? It's to testify about Jesus Christ. Jesus says in John 15:26, but when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. Jesus says, he will bear witness about me. So the Spirit's work is essential because nobody confesses trust in Jesus as Lord except by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. It's this need for spiritual discernment so that we can have spiritual assurance that really prompted the letter. Remember, John's original audience was under heavy fire of Christological attack from false prophets. And if you read church history, you come across some names that we've already mentioned in our study, like Cerinthus of Ephesus. False prophets who were declaring that the man Jesus and the divine Christ, not the same person. They were teaching that the Christ Spirit only like temporarily descended on the man Jesus at his baptism and was on him during his ministry, but then departed from Jesus before Jesus was crucified. So they were denying the truth of Christ's incarnation, and they were preaching a false gospel that rationalized all the ways of loving the world instead of loving God. Because what is your enemy's number one goal? It's to keep you from looking in faith to Jesus. But what you say about Jesus is the giveaway. And we see the flip side in verse 3. And every spirit, that is without exception, that does not confess Jesus is not from God. The question is, do you have the right Jesus? There are many who worship a Jesus of their own construction, of their own preference. Might call the vending machine Jesus, you know? Many still refuse the truth that Jesus reveals. There are many, even in the professing church, that are perfectly fine with sacrificing truth on the altar of unity. Oh, why can't we just all get along, no matter what our view of the Messiah? Jesus tells us why we can't all get along, no matter what we believe about him. He came to bring a sword that divides. If you're not for Christ, then you're still against Christ. So how do God's children detect the spirit of Antichrist, the spirit of false teaching? It's by the teacher's refusal to confess, to say the same thing as God's Spirit says in God's Word about God's Son. Do you have the right Jesus? Because confessing Jesus Christ demands the integration of your life and doctrine. It's one thing to say, oh, I believe in Jesus. But Jesus says, if you believe me, you're going to do the things that I ask you to do. Believing Jesus is going to look like loving one another as his followers. So the apostle calls us to believe Jesus and to apply the confessing Jesus test so we can detect who are the gospel friendlies, who are the gospel foes on our spiritual radar. Remember, Jesus spells out the consequences for all of those many wolves in sheep's clothing. In Matthew 7, verse 21, Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. So believing Jesus, it's not just one option among many. No, he's the one way Jesus. You got to make sure you have the right Jesus, because the good news of salvation is found exclusively in him. And only Spirit-led discernment will keep us loyal to God's truth and love. John Stott writes that in testing the spirits, we must maintain, quote, the biblical balance, avoiding on the one hand the extreme superstition which believes everything, and on the other, the extreme suspicion which believes nothing. And I wrote that down because that's where we are, right? We've got to live this balance. We're tempted in so many ways to believe everything. In so many other ways, oh, you can believe nothing. You can't trust anybody. No one's telling the truth. Now, John identifies for us in verse 3, every spirit that does not confess Jesus, he identifies that with, this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. The spirit of error will finally culminate in the tyranny of the prophesied, rebel-hearted, beastly, globalist leader, the one whom John calls in chapter 2, verse 18, the Antichrist. The Antichrist will come. But it's already the last hour before Christ's return, and already the Antichrist spirit is promoted by so many Christ-denying people and platforms. John says, the spirit of the Antichrist is in the world already. And that is parallel to what he says, and many prophets have gone out into the world. Another quote jumped out at me as I was looking at this from D. Edmund Hebert. He puts it this way, quote, the evil spirits speaking through false prophets are now making the world of mankind their lecture hall. Yeah, that's what's happening. So we must test the spirits by the confession that comes out about Jesus. Make sure you have the real Jesus that you're confessing, him as the ruler and rescuer that you need. The Jesus that we read about in the scripture. And we must also test the spirits by the teaching that is received. What we say about Jesus, the teaching from Jesus that we receive and believe. This is the time for spiritual discernment. Discern the confession that's coming out and discern the teaching that's taken in. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. But by this, we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Do you hear the fatherly heart of the Apostle John? He's encouraging the church by pointing out this great spiritual contrast from who we were with our new origin story. Praise God for a whole new origin story. You're from God. They're from the world. In verse 6, John then includes himself with those who speak from God. And what is the outcome? If you have an origin story that's sourced from God, what is the outcome? Well, the glorious truth is that God's love wins. As John affirms in verse 4, you are from God. You have overcome them. You've overcome them. Why? Because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. God abides in you. God is greater than all. So you've already overcome the one who is in the world. God's family says confidently with 1 John 5:19, we know that we're from God and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. We understand the battlescape. God sent Jesus to rescue his believers from the enemy's power. And yet we know the devil is in the world and working in those who are of the world to keep battling against Christ. So we must discern the effects of this raging spiritual battle. The gospel of Jesus Christ that we preach is scorned as foolishness because the world is still in darkness. And many false prophets labor with this demonic energy to perpetuate the darkness. But we keep doing what our Father wants. We keep following Jesus because the good news is God is infinitely greater than the darkness. His light is greater. And we know that we are His dear little children and we've already won. And we have an assurance that rests on the ongoing results of what God already accomplished for us when Christ said, "It is finished." No satanic deception can steal away or destroy one of the great shepherd sheep. Hallelujah. John 10 says, every believer is in Jesus' hand and He's in the Father's hand. And who's going to break that grip of grace? And Christ sent the Holy Spirit to live in every believer to deliver us from the evil one and enable us to discern truth from error. In contrast, verse 5, the many false prophets representing the spirit of Antichrist, are from the world. That's their source, from the world. Therefore, they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We could say this is the hearing test that contrasts the fading world with God's forever family. The worldly Antichrist kind of message, it's just the message that the world wants to hear. That message that tickles the ear. And the worldly-minded teachers know how to deliver that message, to get all the likes and the follows, to pack out places with messages that are no true gospel. And it's not a matter of the size of the gathering. It's a matter of what's being proclaimed, what's being taken in, received and believed. It's an important hearing test. Jesus is very direct in John 8:47. Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God. And John is being just as direct. We are from God. He's speaking as the representative of Christ, the apostle. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. So if you know God, then you'll listen to the teachers that are sourced from God. And you'll know that because they're teaching God's word. As we study the New Testament, we're hearing, we have the apostles' teaching. Are you receiving it and believing it? And if you're receiving it and believing it, don't take any credit for it. Give the glory to God because it's God who gives His family the open ears to receive and believe. And those who are not listening to the teaching of Christ's apostle about Christ, they're not yet born of God. And let's say not yet born of God, brothers and sisters. Let's say not yet. Because God's family is confident to boldly speak God's gospel, praying that our great God will do for others what He has done for us by giving them also identity in this new origin story in union with Jesus. And it's by this, John says, by this, the Spirit's powerful work in us to make much of Jesus Christ. It's by this that we discern what teaching people are taking in so that we know the difference. We know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. It's Spirit-led discernment that leads Christ's church with the truth that sets us free indeed from all of the evil that seeks to destroy. There's another quote from Westcott I liked. He says, quote, "The hearer discerns the true message. The teacher discerns the true disciple. And this concurrence of experience brings a fresh assurance and deeper knowledge." And that's a blessing on us, church, from the Father. God's true children walk with Spirit-led discernment to follow Jesus Christ and His true world, His true word, instead of the world's false teachers. You know, when I was a little child, yes, as I said, there was the Looney Tunes, but we got to take some pretty cool family vacations. We took a family vacation out west where we visited a gold mine. I was just a little shaver, and my brother, 2 years younger than me, going through this gold mine, and we were so amazed when at the end of the tour, the tour guide hands out these glittering chunks of rock. Here you go, you know, and it's coming out of this, you know, authentic, you know, mining, you know, what do you call that, cart thing? And we're just like, look at each other like, we're rich! This is gold! And of course, our father had to provide some discernment by telling us, no, this is fool's gold. It's fool's gold. Back in the gold rush days, miners had to discern the difference between the iron pyrite and real gold. Experienced miners could often tell by just looking, but sometimes they needed other tests. They could test the gold by biting on it, because real gold is softer than our teeth, but the fool's gold is harder. Another test involved scraping the rock on a whiter stone, because real gold leaves a yellowish mark. The pyrite leaves a darker residue. And so such testing of fool's gold was vital, because really the miner's future was in the balance. But I hope you can see John calling us to test the spirits, because it's our eternity in the balance. All that glitters is not gold. And church, if we fail to walk with discernment, we're going to be hoodwinked by the error that stands against Christ. And we won't be useful in helping other people to overcome the worldly darkness. God's true children walk with Spirit-led discernment to follow Jesus Christ and His true word instead of following the world's false teachers. Are you listening to the teaching of Christ, the New Testament teaching of His apostles? Or are you one of these who thinks they know better? The clock is ticking, friends. Are you walking in fellowship with the Holy Spirit of truth for your eternal joy? Or are you ignoring the Bible and walking in the fellowship with the spirit of error to your destruction? There's no third option. And this is why John says, don't believe every spirit. Test every message and every messenger to see if the source is from God's spirit of truth. Test what is confessed about Jesus. Church, you've got to walk with discernment and never forget this, that God is in you. Because God is greater and He's in you, it means you've already won. You've overcome. I just want to say, if the Spirit of truth is convicting your heart right now that you don't really know God's saving love, we're praying as God's gathered family that you will take the first step of discernment today, that you will repent of your sinful rebellion against God, that you will confess in your heart Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Because as the apostle says, there is no greater joy There's no greater joy in the Father's heart than to see His children walking in the truth. And so, Heavenly Father, help us to walk in Your truth and to walk with discernment to know what is true and what is error, what is from You, and what is from the darkness of this unbelieving world. As this battle rages, help us to be faithful. Help us to stand firm as a community here at Faith Bible Church. And we thank you that however this battle rages, you abide in us and we abide in you. And because you are greater, we've overcome. We praise your name this day. Do your work in our hearts for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.